Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Hello and welcome to the Aware Show. I am Lisa Garr and so happy to be here with you today. Just a privilege and a pleasure to be here, just to have great conversations that inspire positive growth and change. And today is absolutely an example of that. First of all, I want to mention you can go to my website, which is theawareshow.com. And on my website, you'll see all the shows that we broadcast per week. We're on Hay House Radio and Gaia TV, and all these great links are on there. So a couple of different platforms that we're on, broadcasting, conscious media. That's our thing. So you could check that out at theawareshow.com. So did you know that there are 1.5 billion people, that's billion with a B, who live in chronic pain? That's pain without a solution, chronic pain, that the ways to manage it are filled with opioid drugs and various different types of medications or dealing with it. So what pain might you be in right now, or somebody that you know, a loved one who is suffering from extreme pain? And now this could be emotional pain. It could be physical pain. It could be relationship pain. The way we do one thing is the way we do everything, so it kind of is always linked, right? That's why we do a show on the mind, body, spirit, because you can't leave one out. So joining me today is Brandi Gilmore. Wow, what a story. Brandi has recovered from an enormous amount of chronic pain in her life, and I'm going to have her join me. She's here in studio. Hi.
I am so happy to be here. Hi.
This is so cool.
It is.
We've known each other for a long time through TLC, through this organization, and here we show up in studio. It's just awesome.
It's really awesome.
Yes. So tell me about where your level of pain started from.
You know, originally it started, I got into a car accident.
Oh.
And so I had a car accident and was injured, but I was still, you know, going through life with back pain and just managing on medication and Vicodin and various things.
How old were you?
That's a good question.
Teens,
I don't
20s?
Identify with age so well. Like, I still stick with – I still say I'm 21.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I would say probably 17,
okay.
18.
Okay.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, I started doing network engineering, operations, that sort of thing, was working. Ended up having another accident, a fall accident where I fell. And it had been like this day that was just – I mean, it was pouring rain outside, and I was with my father, actually, and we went arrived to a restaurant, and with how hard it was pouring, we went to go inside, and the floor was wet. And next thing I know, I'm on the ground, and so much pain.
Oh.
And it just – my whole life changed that day. It injured my same injury and my nervous system and everything else. And so ended up with – CRPS, which is complex regional pain syndrome, or reflex neurodystrophy. It's got multiple names these days, but but it was life changing.
People have these experiences and they don't know how to get out. My mother-in-law's situation, she fell and broke her hip and changed her whole life. She was the most vibrant human being beforehand. Now she has pins and rods everywhere and she just can't get out of the pain. But it happens overnight. In one fleeting moment. And so now she, you know, has no idea what to do.
You know, I felt like it happened overnight. I have to say, I believe that our thoughts help create our life. And so I don't believe in accidents, you know. And as much as I wanted to, you know, I just wanted to get better. And I felt that same way. I felt like all of a sudden my whole life changed. I'm stuck in bed. I'm on morphine every day. Mm-hmm. You know, I was down to 93 pounds, which right now I'm a size 2, and I've gained 32 pounds since then.
Yeah,
It just It was a
You're naturally tiny.
I was nothing. I mean, my legs were like the size of my arms, and trying to walk was like a walker, and morphine and extreme pain, and mostly I used a wheelchair to get around, and in bed.
Wow, that's not a vibrant young person's life.
No, and that was for like 5 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
So at what point did you make the link that being able to heal was possible?
When did I see it was possible? Really, during my injury, I tried every doctor that I could find. I would go, you know, city to city, look in different countries for what's the new latest cutting edge procedure that's coming out. There was nothing. And then finally, the hospital that I had seen before, they had a trial experiment coming up, and they said that I could be part of it. And so I felt like I was going there to get my life back. I was so freaking excited. Mm. It was like my dreams were coming true. And so I went there, and when they wheeled me in the back and started getting me ready, and the whole time I was just thinking, please don't get the placebo, because when you're part of a trial experiment, you know, it's the thing. You sign up, and either you can get the placebo or not.
Yeah.
When they went to go do the procedure, they actually got ready and then said, you know what, we actually don't expect you to get better anyway. You can't be a part of the study.
Oh, God, who says that?
Right.
We don't expect you to. Wow, that rang through your head.
Yeah. Yeah. And so after that, I was really in this dark place. I mean, it felt like my whole dreams, every hope that I had got crushed. And when I came out of it, I don't know, maybe in 3 days later, a week later, I don't know, I was in darkness. And then it came into my mind. I said, well, what about the placebo? I mean, we know that it works. And so if I knew that the mind had the ability to heal, I figured, okay, all I got to do is figure out how it's possible. We know it's there.
Yes, the placebo effect is very high. What are the percentages of placebos working?
I mean, it ranges if it's antidepressant or saline, you know, mm-hmm. different injections range different than fake surgeries even work. I mean,
mm-hmm. Joe Dispenza's done a whole book on this, the placebo
yes.
effect. Yeah. Yeah. And it is possible that they do work.
Yeah. So once I figured out, okay, you know, you just put it together, you go, okay, if this can work and I have no hope anywhere else, then why not spend my effort figuring that out instead of just giving up?
So you went in with a dream, and it was one sentence that crushed the dream. But you went in with that dream. You went in saying, this is going to happen for me. My life is going to change, right?
And it did.
It did. You knew that on some level. But when you went in with that, my life is going to change, and you got that sentence that was given to you, you somehow still had a spark in you that said, no, I can do this. I can do this. You can make this difference in your life. That little spark, where did that come from? That little spark.
Okay. So I never want to say anything negative about the medical community because I think that, you know, people go in there wanting to make a difference, and that's their passion. And so, but the doctor actually said to me, he said, we don't expect you to get better. And I said, that's okay. I'll try. It's okay. Like, I'm willing to try. He said, yeah, but you'll mess up the numbers.
Oh. Oh, okay. There's the spark.
That was part of me after I went through that whole darkness was like, all right, I'll show you.
I got your numbers right here. Wow. So you decided, okay, what was your first step then when you thought that thoughts were possible to heal if placebo effects were effective? What was your first step?
It was – I started reading more about the mind. So I started looking at the mind, and I started also thinking, okay, well, my primary care physician was the sweetest guy. And I thought, okay, well, maybe he can give me a placebo. And I thought, you know, obviously that was silly thinking. I was – you know, if I know it's not exactly going to be helpful, but so that was really my first thoughts. And I'm laughing at myself going, okay, at least I'm getting resourceful, but that's obviously not going to work. And so then I started looking at the mind, and I started going, wait a second. people with multiple personality disorder can have different types of pain and different ailments and different personalities? That doesn't make sense.
It can even have different eye color.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Look at how amazing our minds are.
Yeah. Very powerful. Mm-hmm.
You know, so when I started seeing that, I hadn't got to the point where I knew that our emotions and that our mind could really heal the body. To me, it was still very not, it was, just wasn't tangible.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for some type of chemical component, some type of something or other. I hadn't quite got to, you know, the power of the mind to heal in that aspect. And so it was just about looking at the logical evidence going, okay, wait a second. If we know about MPD, you know, we're now called what, DID, dissociative identity disorder.
Oh, okay. Yes.
It gets new names also.
Yeah, yeah.
But if we know that that occurs, then what is it that's going on in the mind
that
really creates the change? And so it was just a path of opening and discovering, and I tried visualization for a while. And
yeah, what didn't work and what did work?
Okay, so what didn't work is I tried visualization. And you always hear, you know, get like a really, really clear vision.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was trying. And I was trying to get this perfect vision of what it looked like, of my body healed. And so I would picture over and over. And nothing happened for a long time. And so I felt like my visualizer was broken.
Okay. I get that.
So,
yeah.
So then I started looking at this anatomy book. And I was like, okay, I have to get it even more clear.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would picture in the book, like, I would look at the book of a perfect body and go, okay, that's my body. So then I would look at it till it like was burned into my mind and then close my eyes and try to see it. And that didn't work either.
Wow.
And
you could never see it, or
I would see it.
Okay, you would
see
it.
But it didn't work.
Okay. So months of doing that and it, perfect body never manifested.
No, what people miss is this, is that the vision, it's like the saying isn't like Einstein's saying where it says, you know, imagination is the preview of life's coming attraction. It doesn't say visualization is.
Mm.
It's imagination. And imagination, when you imagine something, you feel it. You feel it. You mm-hmm. have the energy of it. That's what the movement is. So when I was staring at that book and trying to visualize, my energy was stress and strain and trying to be clear on what that – it was so much effort, and stress and strain and effort was where I was already at.
Yeah. So when you were noticing this heightened emotion that makes the connection – makes it different, it adds emotion. When you add emotion to it, it actually intensifies your experience, doesn't it?
It intensifies the experience, but it's also about different emotions have different frequency.
Mm.
So just like if anger is different than
frustration.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. True. That makes sense.
Which is different from success. So when you start to look at everything and we look at the world is energy, you know, you have to plug into that specific feeling. So it's not just like, okay, well, I'm going to be happy and that's going to attract everything, because we can actually see in people's lives where there are some people who are doing very well and they aren't so happy. You know,
right.
We've heard before that money doesn't buy happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And so you start to look at really getting an energetic alignment with what it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so...
And sometimes the anger is actually justified. Sometimes it is. I mean, did you ever get to a point where you felt angry?
Yes, but then I'd work on getting myself out of it.
Right, but sometimes it catapults you.
Yeah.
It's the leverage you need.
I don't know that it was anger. I don't... That wasn't true for me.
Okay.
Anger wasn't great for me. But determination... Hurt was definitely a catalyst to help me move.
When you were told you would mess up the numbers if you were in the study, you weren't angry?
I was indignant.
Okay.
And not only that, but I think that I had done network engineering operations before that, and my job was always to figure out what was broken and figure out how to fix it.
Ah.
And I was really good at that. And
so you were defiant.
I was
defiance is... I love it. No, that's great. That's great. That actually is a really interesting distinction, that anger is maybe not necessarily a forward motivation.
Anger doesn't. To me, anger is one that makes you trip over your own motivation. When you're angry, it's like it breaks down what you're trying. But indignant or a feeling, it doesn't have a determination.
No. Mm-mm.
That's what – so I would just get myself very – you know that song by Eminem, Lose Yourself?
Yes.
Okay, I would listen to that song every day and I would be like –
you own it, you got to never let it go.
Exactly.
You only got one shot, you're not Mr. G. I know, I love that song. Yes, that is my theme song also, yes.
Right? I would actually use music to help me get into an emotional state of like, all right, let me – I would use it. Actually, on my Facebook right now, I've been doing like a series of different different songs that I've used at some point and what it meant to me and what I used it for.
Cool. Very cool. So you basically have this incredible vocabulary of emotion and the frequency that's attached to it. Would you say that?
Yes.
Yeah. You have this beautiful range of the vocabulary of emotions and the frequencies that are attached to each emotion, right?
Yeah. It's basically like this. If we look at the body, so this is what I was missing. So even after visualizing and getting the picture of healing and all of that, that still wasn't it. And what it is that if we look at somebody and they're embarrassed, what happens?
They turn red.
Yeah, they turn red.
Yeah.
Okay? So you can see that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You can see that if somebody has an anxiety – they get an anxiety attack.
Yes. Their shortness of breath,
Shortness of breath, racing heart, sexual thoughts, sexual physical response.
Right.
And you can see that each emotion affects the body differently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so what I actually started doing is looking specifically what specific emotion is contributing to this ailment.
Interesting. So depression. Take that for an example. What ailment is it associated with?
Well, it depends.
Commonly.
So this is actually kind of – okay. So this is what I look at. Okay. So depression I would take as something necessarily different because there's not always a physical expression. But
okay.
There could be.
There could be, yeah.
Absolutely.
So autoimmune.
Autoimmune. Mm-hmm. Typically the core of autoimmune is somebody who's really – very deeply criticizing or mad at themselves. And so it is what it's
attacking
autoimmune,
themselves.
Attacking mm-hmm. yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I look at is like this. Have you ever seen, okay, you've heard of people before who got really stressed and it increased their blood pressure, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you've also heard of somebody getting really stressed and not increasing their blood pressure, right?
Depends on the kind of stress, yeah, like an athlete.
Okay.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like this. It's the emotion itself is one part of the issue. So if you look at it like cake, you need multiple ingredients for a cake.
Uh-huh.
And for me, when I see somebody with like health issues going on, what I look at is it multiple ingredients to actually that result and have that linked ailment with it, if that makes sense. So mm-hmm. it becomes about releasing those ingredients to allow the body to heal itself.
Fascinating. And are you able to see that in people, or do you help guide them through those emotions?
I do help them guide them through their emotions. Basically, after my injury, I started experiencing everything as frequency.
Wow.
So I can actually feel what other people are feeling. And so it makes it really easy to be able to help people to identify it and to be able to shift it.
Wow. Identifying it is the awareness key, right?
Yes.
So an example, can you give me an example of someone that you helped identify the emotion and how it shifted someone?
Yes. Let's see. Okay. So the first one that comes to mind is let's see. Okay, so there was this woman who was in the process of getting a divorce. And And she had a lot of anger and frustration towards her ex, mm-hmm. soon-to-be ex-husband, right? And it was a lot, okay? She had a shoulder injury. She basically, on her left shoulder, tore ligaments and rotator cuff, all of that. And so she couldn't lift her arm. Her arm was in extreme amount of pain. And she asked me a nutrition question because I also would help people with nutrition at some times. And so I asked her, you know, do you want to work on the mind with it? And she was like, no, I mean, this is
purely physical.
I have to go get surgery. So she scheduled for surgery. But she also had Hep C going on. And so when she went in, her platelet count was 58. And they did an entire transfusion, and it went up to 59. And so they couldn't do the surgery. She would have bled out.
Right.
So she comes back, and she goes, okay, can we try this whole mind thing?
Yeah.
And so what I looked at is that she had a lot of, again, anger, hurt, a lot of feeling like her ex-husband was a burden. And so we talked about going through the divorce in a way that was better for the kids and letting that go and being able to actually work through some of the hurt feelings to be able to look at her outcome at what she wanted and how that would – maneuvering it through it in a different way and really appreciating him, even though they were at a divorce, but appreciating that she got beautiful kids, appreciating that they're at the point and really coming to a better place to move through it. Her pain went away. I mean, it probably took about 45 minutes to work through it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Her pain went away?
Yeah.
And it's still gone?
Still gone. I actually saw her. I was speaking up in Sacramento 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago. And it's been – this one, she's been about 4 years since that.
Oh,
yeah.
My
she
goodness.
Never needed surgery. She – so
– and it was supposedly a torn rotator cuff.
Yeah. I mean, she had an MRI and all of that. So
really? That's awesome. That is a great example, though.
It's a perfect example. And I always tell people, because, you know, there's all these claims and all of that, like, I don't heal people. I want to show people to empower people to help them empower themselves, to help people understand their mind.
To you wonderful people listening, if you are in front of your computer, you could check out Brandi Gilmore's TEDx talk. And it tells different stories, but it really is it's kind of mind-blowing TEDx talk. And if you get a chance, it's Brandi Gilmore. You've had lots and lots of people watch this, and it's made a big impact on people. Now, you decided at this point when you were able to heal your body and through these frequent – how long did that process take?
It took a while. I mean, I started – to be honest with you, my going through that whole phase is blurry. But I'm going to say – so my injury date to my last cane was about 5 years. Cane walker, all of that. I would say probably after I started looking into the mind, maybe 3.5 years, and that's a guess because it all – like it became a focus of nutrition and acupuncture and everything I could find. And when that didn't work, it was the next thing. And when that didn't work, it was the next thing. And so
– oh. So was it just the mind that – the frequency shifts that made the biggest difference, or was it a combination, you think, of a lot of things?
You know, I think that – really what I think is yes, the mind, and yes, the frequency, absolutely. So even today I'll show people how to release their pain in minutes, and you can actually see it on a scan. And so,
wow.
Yeah, but this is the thing. When I look at nutrition and eating healthy and all of that, do I believe it was an important part of my journey? Yes, it helps serotonin. Serotonin helps with being happy. Mm-hmm. And so if you're working on being happy and lifting your spirits and all of that, it makes it hard. You've heard that term before, hangry, right?
Yeah, yes, 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 yes. Yeah, exactly. You need to feed and nourish the body for the brain to be able to work correctly. But you do this with a mindset shift. I love that. I mean, you don't need any tools or techniques or medicine. So I'd love to invite our callers in. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
If you guys are getting a chance to give us a call, 818-985-KPFK, and you can call us and speak with Brandy Gilmore directly. Maybe she can see into a few insights of what might be able to help, or at least show an example of what the missing links might be. So you're just as an overall emotional body, where would somebody start if they have physical pain? So I have example. I have physical pain in my back right now. I went to the chiropractor yesterday. He lit it up with a zillion stretches, and now it's really sore, but it's getting better. Where would I start with my right wing?
With your right wing?
Yes, I call it my right wing. It's where the wing would be inserted if I were to have one.
You mean you don't have wings?
I do.
You've had me fooled all this time.
I mean, it's broke. It's under construction right now. Right between the spine and the shoulder blade or the paraspinal, right where you would insert a wing if you were an angel.
You are an angel.
I like to think so sometimes.
Let's see. Okay. So
you're looking into something different. Yeah.
I am looking into something different.
You are.
I am.
Yeah.
And you don't mind if I say?
No, apparently not. No, you're going to say it anyway. No, go ahead. Yeah.
Yes. It feels like maybe in your past, there was a harder time trusting people. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so what it's saying is that was a wound from back when, and right now you're working on creating your life bigger and wanting to make even more of a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes not being able to trust people sometimes hinders or makes your wing not be able to fly as much as it could if it had more wind under it.
So true. Yeah. It feels like I have a broken wing. It's strange that I say that. It's my right shoulder. And I just got back from traveling for 3 weeks, and I did carry a very heavy laptop on my right side. That would make sense. But I know that everything's connected and that I could have used a roller bag, but I didn't. So that's very interesting. So, yes, that makes a lot of sense. And it also feels like I'm being stabbed in the back.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what is.
Yes.
Instant picture came up.
Yes. And I was trying to be gentle about it. But
I
yes.
see it.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. The stabbed in the back.
Yeah.
Bingo. And the biggest frequency word that I hear, bingo, is distrust, can't trust.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
true.
So that's what comes up. But this is what's genius, right?
Okay. How do I fix that?
Okay. Well, first you got to get excited about it.
I'm currently being stabbed in the back. That doesn't feel good.
Yes.
Jeez.
Okay. Well, this is what's exciting about it, right? Okay. So our thoughts help create our life, right? So we've heard maybe about the woman who has the abusive father, and somehow she seems to create and manifest the same type of relationships over and over again.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. So if you look at having trust issues,
mm-hmm.
and you go, okay, now I'm creating more of those in my life to where I feel like I'm being stabbed in the back.
Right.
And you go, wait a second. If my thoughts are creating my life, wouldn't I want to get rid of that pattern? And if I do,
mm-hmm.
then isn't there a huge gift in it? My thoughts would have to change, which then helps change my reality.
Right. So if I were to change that thought, I would turn around and I would pluck the dagger out of my back and I would say, who does this belong to? And I would say, can we please talk? Because I don't know why you're trying to harm me. And that's what I would love to say. So that's a more empowering conversation as to running around wondering who's stabbing me in the back. It's true. I mean, I would absolutely want to say, hey, what could I possibly have done that have offended you? And can we talk? Because I know that's the type of person that I am, and I'm willing and able to face whatever it might be. But wow. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, okay. So if we use that same example of the woman with her husband, mm-hmm. right? And everything was feeling like a burden and feeling weighed down, right? The fact that we worked on that and that she started going, okay, I need to be able to appreciate him and do this differently and really release all this stress about it, helped her to maneuver through her divorce mm-hmm. in a much healthier way and made all the difference, you know. And so her life is better because of it in a lot of ways.
Of course. And so are the kids, everybody.
Everybody is.
Yeah.
So,
and you
so,
can't tell someone like, oh, just take the high road.
Yeah.
Because they probably wouldn't know where that is.
Yeah. But, I mean, but everything is speaking kind of like this. Okay. So, bingo. Like the difference that you're trying to make right now, like in the difference that you are making and the amazing things that you do, it's just, it's wonderful. And do you ever feel like you need more support?
Oh, yeah. It's a big theme in my life right now. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
And if I ask you, can you trust somebody to be that support?
I've been over-trusting in the past.
Why would you say over-trusting?
Because I've trusted people that didn't have my best interest in their
So you feel
minds.
Like you can't trust people?
Yeah. Now I'm a little bit burned, yeah.
Okay, now I have a question. A little bit burned, right?
Mm-hmm. That's what I feel.
Okay. Now, if our thoughts help create our life,
uh-huh.
could you get a different vision of the support that you are bringing in and create the perfect create the situation for the perfect
Absolutely.
Person?
Absolutely. Yes. In the past, I've always felt like I wanted to be the host and have somebody else take care of the business. And I realized that's not an empowering conversation. It makes more sense for me to know the business and to be the host. It makes perfect sense. And yeah, that's one of the things I've been working on is finding a team that I do know has my back no matter what. Yeah.
Awesome. So the message from it would be picture that and get the feel mm-hmm. of what that would feel like.
Oh, they're out there. Yeah. Yeah. And they live in Los Angeles. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I've really been working on that. Yeah, absolutely nailed that. Yes.
Yeah. And that's what your body says to
me. Yeah.
But that's what's genius is that.
That is so right on. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you'll be able to fly better.
Yeah. Because I am a fairy. It sounds so funny, but I believe, and I've always had that optimistic outlook on life that everything's always going to be okay. And yeah, in the last 6 months, I've been going through that. Wow, maybe it isn't. But I know also in my heart of hearts it is because I am so guided and I am so looked after by God and the universe. I get that.
Yeah.
I just happen to be going through, like everyone does, a dark spot. Like you went through that darkness. But it's a way to look at other things. Like you can't find the new light if you're not in that really dark room again. And this is what we always go through again and again and again in life if we're committed to growth.
Absolutely.
If we're committed to growth. If we want to stay stagnant, most of the brains out there don't like stagnation. Brains love new, shiny, that they're very much happy about that. So brains don't really like stagnation. So if we're a human being committed to growth, we're going to go through these darkness and light and darkness and light.
Yes. And what I always say is, I always say this, like I had two 2x4 lessons. They were really hard. The injury, the another.
Right. I've had whole brick walls.
Yep. And now I like to look at little gentle things and go, okay, I'll change.
That's exactly what I've been asking for. Can we just do this a little more gently?
Yeah.
Can we just do it a little more gently?
You're right.
Yeah.
The universe whispers and I'm like, all right.
Gentle. Right. Having a lot of communication with – I have – my church is my mountain biking and I absolutely love that. And I have somehow had direct communication with the divine lately. And I've been asking, can we just do these lessons gently, please? Can we just gently
yes.
do this?
Ooh. Oh, my God. Since I've made that agreement.
Like warm. It's like I'm boiling right now. This is great. Circulation is happening. Okay, let's go to the phones. And again, if you would like to speak with Brandi Gilmore, my guest, please give us a call here, 818-985-KPFK. You see how easy it is to work with somebody. That is Sherry in Mission Viejo. Hey, Sherry, how's it going?
Yes, hi. Just have a quick question.
Yes.
One of our friends just had a stroke last Saturday. So now right side of his body, he can't move and he lost his speech. So just wanted to know if this technique will help him.
You would have to work directly with the person that had the stroke, right?
Yes, and, you know, let me see. Like, let me just check his energy real quick.
And when you hear this silence, Brandy's just kind of going into her intuition and doing something with your hand.
I am doing something with my hand. I don't mean to.
What is that?
It's like reading. So when you're reading a book and there's a lot,
it looks like you're writing something.
It's writing. The information coming through, I guess.
Ah, interesting. Yeah, I'm like, wow. It's very interesting.
You know, what I always like to say is, you know, of course you want to definitely support your friend and have a lot of compassion and love is, you know, obviously very, very healing. I'll leave this in general just to kind of give you an idea because I like to leave people their privacy, you know, to work with what they need to work with. But let's say a lot of times the emotional link that is linked in with as far as stroke is really when somebody's at a point where they kind of have a lot of signs to change and there's a lot going on and they're going through a lot of stress, but they completely refuse to change. So sometimes I'll see it like if somebody's in a relationship and their relationship is extremely toxic and yet they stay there or they're going through something that a real change is needed. So to me, it's about looking for a new vision ahead, a different way of doing things and being willing to change. I mean, another way we'd look at it is it happens with the mind and it's saying, okay, being willing to be flexible to a different approach to what you're wanting to get is typically what I would look at.
Is there a way that people can like her friend wanted to find a way to contact you? Do you have a website?
I do have a website.
Good.
It's BrandyGilmore.
Okay.
.com.
All right, well,
and Gilmore has two L's. Okay. So Brandy with a Y and Gilmore with two L's .com.
Okay, very good.
Okay.
Thank you.
So then it's possible for him to work with you, right?
Yes. I have group coaching. I don't take a lot of one-on-ones, but I do have some group coaching also. And possibly if you just send me a message, possibly I can get him in for a one-on-one. Okay.
Thank you very much for caring about your friend. That's really wonderful of you. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. Okay. So we've got Melanie from Los Angeles. Melanie, do you have a question for Brandy Gilmore?
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. My concern was regarding fertility. I've been trying to get pregnant, my husband and I, you know, for a little while now. And I know I have fibroids, and so just want some direction with that.
How exciting. How exciting.
Yeah.
I love that. I love it. Okay, so let me just go ahead and just check in really quick with the body and see what I see. Here I go back to writing.
I know. Sorry, I didn't mean to make you self-conscious. This is so great. It's like we're just having a private phone conversation.
Bingo. Can you see the part of you that is that's also kind of scared? Bingo. Whether or not you feel like you'll be a good enough mother?
Yeah, I do have some fear, you know, over motherhood and just in general, you know, and with the world and everything, how it is.
A lot with the world also. A lot with the world. So I see that. I see that.
Yeah.
Okay, so when I look at like, conscious creation, where we're working on manifesting anything, and even with the body. You know, a lot of people will say, I want this, and that's like stepping on the gas pedal in the car. And then they have a lot of fears or there's reasons that they don't want it, which is like stepping on the brake pedal at the same time.
Mm.
And so there's like this stuckness. And so, bingo, when you said about, like, as far as fear going on, fear about being a good enough mother, fear if you'll be able to handle it, and also fear of the future of the world. All of those things is what I see as kind of a brake pedal internally going on. And so, what's that?
I said that makes sense.
Yeah, so what you want to do, what would be great, is to get a vision, you know, get a vision of the world, of the direction that you want it to go. And what's exciting to me is I see all these things going on in the news, and it can be totally scary.
So overwhelming, yeah. It's best to, you know, there are so many conscious media outlets out there. If you maybe just take, you know, a month and just listen to, like, Hay House Radio and whatever we have on the Aware Show, or listen to whatever you can that gives you full conscious media for, and just make that your diet for a month, just to give yourself a break from the fear, it would be a different view on the world.
Exactly. I was just going to recommend you go on an Aware Show diet and just watch, listen to as many as you possibly can.
Yeah, it saves me. It does.
Yeah. And the perspective that also saves me is this, is that, you know, we've gone through times of major change where, like, you know, there's, like, when we look in history, the agricultural revolution, the industrial revolution, technological revolution, and we're going through a spiritual revolution, you know, an awakening. And so when we look at what the problem is, yes, but just like when I was talking about, I got indignant about the doctor and I was like, I'm going to find my own solution. There's a lot of people that are looking around going, this isn't great. Let me wake up. Let me become aware.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, when I look forward and I see this growing awakening going on, and I look at, yes, there's a problem. I can see that. And there's this awakening. And it's about focusing on where you want to go. And the fact that, you know, the fact that you do this show is just wonderful, getting more information.
I do it in a space of healing. So the way that it's set is to heal myself and others. So that happens.
It happens, and it spreads, and it helps everybody. Just even listening to this, to shows like this, like Lisa was talking about, just listening to that helps keep your mind in the direction of where we want to go. Mm-hmm. So really, you know, getting that vision in and continuing to fill your mind with that and then also, you know, maybe reading a parenting book to help you ease some of your fears so you feel like, you know what?
The Joy of Parenting. How about that book?
Is there a book? And I have to say I'm excited. I love when people who are living consciously and aware then they look at having kids, because those are the type of people we need to have breed kids. So, yes, please. I'm looking forward to you having a cat baby.
Yes. To be a conscious mommy. Yes. Yes. Yes, absolutely. You're going to be a great mom.
Thank you.
And a conscious mom. That's exactly what we need.
Yes, we do.
So you're planning on having 10 for us, right?
Yeah, and you're going to teach other moms to be conscious too. Cool. Thank you so much. All right.
Thank you.
Bye. It's so wonderful to hear, too, because you could hear her voice change and her rhythm change and the smile in her voice. And that's really cool. That's very cool to hear. I love it.
Right?
Yes.
I love it.
It's good stuff. This I could tell is your calling. Now, are you hearing communication during that silence? Probably hearing so much more than we're
here. So much more, but I am conscious of it, because just like I'm moving my hand like I'm writing, and it's different things like that. You know,
when did that gift come in?
As I was coming through my injury, into my recovery, as I was going into that and started helping people, it just started showing up, and me going from being, you know, network engineer operation type thinking to then, you know, spirituality and awareness and consciousness and all that, it was a jump. And then so this information started coming in, and I was like, uh-oh.
Wow. Especially because you don't have to hear very much about the person. You hear their name and the first sentence, and you just go right to the issue. You're not asking. You've never heard from these people before. So it's really amazing. I mean, a lot.
Yeah, I get a lot of information.
Uh-huh. All right, let's go to Khadisha, if we can, in Culver City. Hi, Khadisha. How are you?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
So I called in because I wanted to find out if you had any insight for me. I was diagnosed last year with coarctation of the aorta, which is actually a congenital heart defect that I didn't know I had my whole life. And I had to have a surgery to put a stent in my aorta to open it up a bit in October. But it's still, you know, it's still not completely open. So coarctation is when the aorta is pinched in. And so I've been trying to think of or work with other ways in how to work with it, doing some of Joe Dispenza's work and seeing how else I can work with it. But I also noticed that around all that time and since then, I've had all these other things that have started happening with my body. And I don't know if it was a response to the stress of all of that, or I'm not sure exactly, but migraines with like visual disturbance and a lot of weight gain and fatigue and, you know, just all of these other pieces that have sort of come up since then, vision issues, lots of like nerve and muscle issues since then. And so just trying to get my body back to balance or back to a place where it's healthy and works well. But I feel like, much like when I heard you tell your story, I work so hard at it, like doing meditations every day and the
visualization,
working so hard at it for like a year or something and not seeing, I do see some improvement. I do see some healing, but I don't fully see myself changing in the way that I'd like to see that happening.
Right. And it seems like you're very much in your head about it, where you have been able to see and analyze it, but it's not dropping below the head. I'm going to have Brandy. She's receiving some type of a message here for you.
Okay. First off, I want to say I acknowledge what you're going through, and I get it where, you know, trying, and that's seeing a little bit of results and not getting there, and that's, I can relate to that so well, you know, and ups and downs days, and, you know, so I get it. You kind of mentioned a lot of things simultaneously. Mm. And so let's start. Bingo. Okay, so, you know, I have, as far as looking at the heart, and even issues coming into this lifetime, you know, I see it you know, we have past lives, and so sometimes we'll carry energy from past lives into this life. And that's where I see it at, is really just coming into this life and you know, born into it. As far as the emotional link that I see going on, it has to do, with almost this feeling of kind of being, trying to numb yourself to hurt or to love. So if you look at the heart of love that comes in, and love that goes out, what it is, it's allowing a little bit in, but not a lot, basically, is what I see. It looks like there's a part of you, that's a bit afraid of love and a little bit afraid of rejection. Are you familiar with those feelings?
Mm. She actually hung up. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So... That makes, if you have a chance, if for some reason, if she hung up or if got disconnected, just give us a call back. Yeah. The number 818-985-KPFK. But yes, it has to do with, I love that idea of receiving and giving love. It's a reciprocal. I drew a little diagram here of love coming into a heart and love going out of a heart. And that makes sense. Sometimes we tend to be all out or all in. Yeah. It is a reciprocal flow. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So there's so many different things that what you're saying makes sense. It has to do with emotions attached to different ailments of the body and the brain and the mind. And our minds are superpowers on how we can change our bodies. It is phenomenal how quickly we can change. Good. She did not fall off there. I mean, she's back on the line. Gina's going to, yeah, there we go. Hey, there we go. Sorry about that. Kadisha, are you back with us?
Yes. I don't know what happened. It got cut off.
No, it's all good. So
I heard some of it.
Good. Good. You were saying, just to recap.
Just a feeling of allowing love in and allowing yourself mm-hmm. to feel love. It feels like there's been a lot of hurt yeah. in the past.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, if I ask you how much hurt you feel like spent in the past, 0 to 10, how much?
How much hurt? Probably like a 9 or 10.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I see is that. And so.
And I know that. I just don't know how to. I find myself, like, I can feel myself shut down. And so it's sort of working with how can I open myself up and feel safe enough. Especially now, I don't even feel safe in my body anymore because of everything that's happened.
Exactly. And that, by the way, you mentioned the rest of the things that were going on, the weight gain, mm-hmm. the anxiety, all of that. There's that. And it looks like you've been trying to force yourself to be more open with love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I see that. And and so what I would do if I were you is just start with creating a vision about how love can be. Like, if you look around, you can mm-hmm. see that there are people who are in loving, safe relationships, and there's no reason yeah. that you can't have that. And so if I were you, instead of trying to push yourself to just be open and love more when it doesn't feel safe, start yeah. getting a new vision of how it can look. And the more you bring in that vision, the more you'll start to create a different expectation. And that will start making it safer. So I like to have people start by lifting themselves first to start feeling stronger.
You know, the beautiful thing, Khadija, and everyone listening, is that we can all do this ourselves. We all have powerful minds. We all have yeah. very powerful minds.
And that's the goal.
Yeah.
I mean, when we start looking at creating a different world and really
yes.
having everybody wake up, it's everybody learning how to use their own energy.
That is so yeah. true. And thank you so much for your call.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I'm glad you called back. I think that how we're going to save and heal this world is going to be through a way of healing of changing our own mindset. And if we can change our mindset to heal our bodies and get energy and feel empowered and feel physically healthy, we're going to need to come up with a lot of strength for all of us to make some major changes. The crazier the news gets, the more empowered we get.
Absolutely. I mean, what's amazing is that when we start using our energy, what do we have to do now? We have to start feeling more love, start feeling more happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, it's exciting. I mean, I could be okay with the world being a lot more loving and a lot more happy and a lot more enlightened. I mean, could you?
Yes, definitely. But there are a lot of people in a lot of fear right now because so much is changing so fast. People who have come into this country are terrified. People who are in different religions are terrified. And I understand that. I mean, the fears are more blatant than they ever have been. And I think that one of the best ways to cope with something like that is to re-empower your mind and to pull the ones in that you love close to you and just, you know, stay in that. If you can love and power at the same time, it's a very interesting combination. It's a good one.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, getting a vision of I think we're all co-creating our world, you know, and getting a vision of how we want things to be.
Mm-hmm.
And focusing on that.
Absolutely. And it is possible, as well as you went through this entire metamorphosis of healing your body, you have no pain now, right?
None. No. At my best after my injury, I was squatting like 350.
Whoa.
I know, which is insane.
Like weights?
Weights. Like I went to this place where I was just like, I am going to get my body bulletproof. And I was...
Well, you sure did. Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
I mean, right now I could probably only do about 2 something or...
Wow.
I know.
Still, that's fantastic.
I know. And I have yeah. such a small build that you wouldn't think. And
right. Yeah. But also in your mind, you are resilient. You're adaptable to the daily struggles of life, right?
Yeah, I just have a new way of looking at life. Mm. I don't see it as as being struggles. I see it as being information.
Hmm. That's a great way of looking at it.
And so it just becomes changing the information. It's changing the information. I don't think I think that as I – like everything has frequency to it. And mm-hmm. so when you start to look at that, it just all becomes information,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. Yeah, because then you'd have the emotional charge on it and the judgment and the decisions that we make around that sometimes stick us.
Absolutely. And I'm not going to say I'm emotional free about it because, you know, something might come up and I want something to change. And I'm like, okay,
mm-hmm.
let me go back to the emotion, like the information part. Let me shift that, you know.
You do actually have a documentary coming out in fall.
Yes.
This very soon, right around the corner, right, of this year.
Mm-hmm.
What is it called?
I'm not sure I can say anything on it yet.
Okay.
There's actually a couple of them.
Wow.
So it'll be
good. Okay, we'll look for something.
Yes, part of what I do is I show people how to use their mind to release pain in minutes, and you can see it on thermography and everything like that. So that's part of what I do in those.
Wow, fantastic. All right. Well, thank you very much. We got to get going. And Brandy Gilmore is my guest. You can look up her website. It's Brandy Gilmore, 2 L's in Gilmore, .com. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I adore you.
Absolutely. I adore you too. All right. And everybody who's listening, thank you so much for joining the energy of the show today. And until next time, I invite you to stay aware.